Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry. Good evening and welcome. The time is now 6:04 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:04 p.m. on the West Coast, and today is March the 19th, 2022. Welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show. I'm your host, Michael Gay, with all my co-hosts. Will shortly be joining in. If you were here on the board, I'm going to open their mics momentarily, but happy Saturday to you. Hope that you're having a great day. We have, you know the term action-packed. Well, yeah, we have an action-packed show for you today because in the first hour, we're going to talk about a few things. We have some politics to talk about, but I came up with some things that made me think on this particular day that we should talk about. And then in the second hour, we have a special guest. He's joined us before, and this brother here has some of the best music. I truly, you know, don't understand. I don't really want to say that, but I don't understand why artists like this individual, which many of the co-hosts and listeners to the show have heard artists on this show, where these individuals have some awesome music, but they're not getting the exposure, per se, that they deserve. I mean, they're doing well. Don't get me wrong. They're doing well. They're, you know, they got a following. They're, you know, their music is being heard. But I guess what I'm trying to say is not being heard in the masses. You know what I mean? And we'll get into that conversation later on in the second hour with our guest, Mr. Ellison Kendrick. It will be joining us at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And you're going to hear some of his great new tracks. great new songs, and I love it. I truly love it. So without further ado, let me open up some microphones here because I have to open up the mic of the lady of the house. Been here on the TMGS, or better yet, every platform I've been on for over, I guess we're going into almost 7 years, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hello.
Happy birthday, Michael. Happy birthday, Michael. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Michael.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, today is my birthday. And you know what, Janet, people said, you're going to do your show on your birthday? You don't take no time off? You know, I don't recall a time that my birthday fell on a show day, you know. I don't recall that ever happening. But I'm like, well, why not do the show? You know, I don't make any special plans. I did a short video before the show on Facebook, and what I said was that, where, you know, I'm thankful that I'm seeing 60.
Amen.
I'm thankful to God that I'm seeing 60. Some people don't even see 20.
Amen.
So what, you know, why should I make certain changes? I don't go to clubs anymore. I go to concerts, you know, and stuff like that. I might stop by the club after the concert with a few friends, but I'm not in that party life like I used to be younger. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And you know, it's up to the individual, I guess.
Yeah, plus party life can be very expensive. You can buy a six-pack or a quarter something, a liter, instead of one drink, you know?
You know, you go to the club and pay $4 or $5 for one beer. You could have got a six-pack for that, you know.
Amen.
But you just sit there. And you know what? And it's funny that you said that. I remember back in the days where a guy would buy two beers. Now, be at the club all night long, but he'll sip on that one beer for hours, okay?
Flat.
Walk around with an empty can, you know. You know.
Probably put water in the can to make you think that he's still drinking.
Oh, no, the can is empty. Trust me, it's empty. He just swallows his spit to make it seem like there's a liquid going down, okay? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things. But let me open up the mic to another great co-host. Love this brother all the way in California, L.A., Mr. Timon Ship. What's up, brother Timon?
Hey, Timon.
What's going on there, birthday boy? Now, Mike, now you know, I wish you a happy birthday. If you hear any background, that's because I just left the grocery store and just spent my life savings in the grocery store, because, you know, hell, out here in California, I put $35 in and I only got a quarter of a tank. And I drive a 2003 Nissan Sentra. So I only got a quarter of a tank on $35. So, hey, I'm happy to be here to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And if you run out of gas before you get to the house, make sure you save enough change to catch that RTD. Rapid Transit District bus, right? Okay.
Hey, brother.
I remember
telling, I just left the
back
grocery
the
store. I just left the grocery store, Janet, and let me tell you, hey, you know, and I live a healthy lifestyle. You know, I don't buy crap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't even eat fast food. My stuff got to be cooked. You know, I got to have my walnuts and my pistachios and my blueberries and, you know, I got to have all that. I got to have my stuff. You know, I want to get to Mike's age. Mike's 60. Shoot, I want to get to 60. I got 3 more years to go. Well, I get to 60 now, and I'm trying to get there. So I got to, you know, it costs money to get to Mike's age.
You will get there.
I'm a senior citizen, 72, and the price of food has doubled.
Yep. Hey, Timon, you will get to 60. You will get to 60. You will just never catch up.
Right, well, there you go.
Especially with me,
even my own girlfriend, you know, this year she will be turning 60, and she already, oh, You already reaching for the cane and everything.
I'm 72. But you don't get older. You get better.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You just got to stay on your game, that's all.
Well, for not everybody, there's, you know, unfortunately, there are some folks who get older that don't get better, you know, based on habits and this, that, and the other. But, yeah, you should get better. If you've been blessed to live a long life, you know, as I was saying earlier, you've been blessed to get to a certain age. Because back when I was a kid, I thought 50 was old. Now, I mean, think about when you were a child. You thought 50 was old. But when you got 50, you were like, hell, that ain't that old. I still can do this. I can still do that, right? I mean, think about it.
Now, if you
have young
the kids
folks
at
now,
my job now, Mike, the kids at my job, what's up, old man? I said, that's all right, boy. You reach over there and touch me. This old man going to put all his foot in your ass. I'm telling you that. You can play game. I don't care about being no gangbanger.
Well, you got nothing to lose when it comes to protecting yourself. That's true. You know, especially when you get
young people always there trying to test you.
Test, yeah, thank you. And, you know, they think they know more than you. And the thing is, everything they dreamed of doing, you've done. And that's what's so interesting. We're going to have a show about that, trust me. We're going to have a show about that. Because, you know, I kind of wonder what went wrong with raising kids in our community, and I see it every day. But not what went wrong. But what is still going wrong?
Have you and Janet heard about the latest story that's out of North Carolina?
Hold that thought.
I put it in my stand-up act the other night.
Thank God for Janet because she did the research and brought it to my attention. In fact, Janet, pull that up.
He said North Carolina. Is he talking about the same thing?
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about North Carolina.
Something that happened or that is about to happen?
No, that happened in North Carolina.
Okay, well, tell us what happened in North Carolina, then we'll tell you what South Carolina is about to do.
A middle school in North Carolina, a bunch of white kids were having mock slave auctions.
Oh, I think I'm
at the middle school.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
And I saw this on the news. So how the parents found out that now, apparently this has been going on a while. So the black boy went home and told his mama, and she said, "How you know that?" Well, because they sold my friend for $350, right? So the black mama said, "What?" So apparently it got back, you know. Now the white people were saying, "Oh well, you know how kids are; they just play, you know, no big deal." Well, the black mother, apparently the black mother who was the son. Who got sold for $350 was pissed. Because she was like, well, my son worked way more than $350. Y'all ain't going to be selling my kid. And the white kids were having, they would pick a new slave master every week. This is a true story. It was happening in North Carolina. Y'all can look it up.
Hold tight a minute. It's interesting that you brought that up because, and I need to go on my laptop here and pull up this story that I saw on Court TV of this young 14-year-old, I think it was, who is being charged for assault on a black kid who he threw cotton balls at and used his belt and whipped him.
Yeah.
And they're charging him for assault and a racial crime. That's interesting, too. Janet's call dropped. I'm sure she's going to call back in. But it's interesting that you brought that up because here's something that Janet. Go ahead.
Right. But I was going to say, but yet they don't want to talk about critical race theory. Now, you're bothered by
right.
Why are you bothered by critical race theory when we got kids having mock slave auction,
exactly.
And the boy is getting beating somebody with a belt throwing cotton balls at him? If there is no racial problem,
But well, here's the thing I want to say. I see these things and I'm wondering, who are these teachers? These are the people that you trust to educate your kids. Now, their way of doing it definitely ain't working because they're making black
also,
kids.
Mike, go ahead.
Well, they're making black kids experience what, you know, what occurred back in the day, right? But still, it doesn't make sense, especially when you let it get to that level of abuse, you know, like you said,
right.
The theory and everything. You don't have to be physical in it. And why are these teachers being allowed to put that on their curriculum and do it? I would think that
well,
when
a
teacher
there are
says,
no black
no, I mean,
teachers. Another problem is there are no black teachers.
Well, I'm sure of that.
Okay.
I'm sure of that. But who?
Well,
but
that's
the thing
one,
is that
one
we're
of the big things, one of the big problems.
But going forward, I think that when it comes to doing these classes or whatever they want to call them, that you know, it should be reviewed first when it comes to race, when it comes to history, when it comes to slavery and everything, that the teacher should have to present to somebody before they do the course or do the activity, you know. But obviously it's not being done.
Well,
but
go
like,
ahead. You can't look. They were taught history. We all were taught history in high school, okay? But nobody,
we
I've never
taught,
seen
well,
one
well,
white
well,
kid.
Well,
I wish
well,
a white kid would have, you know, the fact
right.
that a white kid can pull out cotton balls and hit somebody with a belt.
Well, yeah, that's
timing,
that's my point, is that back when you and I were coming up, that shit would never happen. We know that. But obviously, it's getting softer to allow it to happen because this is not the first time. But hold on. This is not the first time we have heard stories of teachers allowing this type of activity in the classroom.
But that's
correct
what I'm
me if
saying,
I'm wrong.
Mike. Right, you're right, Matt. No, you're not wrong. But I'm saying we don't have – these are white teachers. These are not black teachers. You're going to automatically – there are no black – and they've already stated there are not. They don't have enough black male teachers in these curriculums. Majority of them – and all these classes are either white female or white male. Teaching these courses.
Let me ask you a question, though. What difference would it make, or what difference would it make if there was more, well, if there was more black male teachers? What difference?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something.
Hold on, sir. I'm not saying in that situation, but I want you to share with everybody what difference that you feel it would make to have more black male teachers in the school. And then I want you to try to answer my question. I don't know if you have an answer, but how do we get more black male teachers in the school system, especially in the black community?
Well, one, in the black community, there are black male teachers. There's not enough of them, but they are. But definitely, I believe that having black male teachers, as far as black males are concerned, as well as black and also black females, they need to see that. Because I can guarantee you where the way a black man teaches history will be different than that white dude, that they're not going to be doing. I'm telling you, it will not be this ignorance that is going on. Okay, there are some good white teachers out there, but when it comes to history and talking about slavery and talking about Civil War and everything, there ain't going to be no reenactments. They don't need to do that because let me tell you, the black man and the black woman, when they speak in a way that they're going to teach you to embrace that history instead of running away from that history, trying to suppress that history. They're going to make you, they're going to bring it out, all of it.
But hold on. Okay, so I have to intervene.
So
I have to intervene for a moment. okay? I want you to continue, but I have to intervene because you said something very important. But isn't what critical race theory is what you're pretty much saying is that where if we had black individuals, they would pretty much side to critical race theory in a sense. Correct me if I'm wrong, and anybody that is listening. But the thing is that where that's the fear of having more black teachers, I think, is that they would side on that type of education, that type of curriculum. And that's how come maybe I'm just saying, I'm not saying that is true, but I'm just saying that maybe that's the reason why we don't have more black teachers. I'm not going to say that we don't have enough black individuals who are qualified to be teachers, but that's probably why we're not getting them hired and put into positions to tell the truth, to educate, because the fact that if they were, it would actually become critical race theory being taught. You follow what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, Mike, but that's if you're now, I'm talking about a black teacher teaching history. Okay, critical race theory is only taught in college and it's taught in law school. It is not taught part of a regular high school curriculum. Nowhere in any
school
is that taught.
But it is history. It is history. It is history, though.
Yeah, but no, critical race history, critical race theory. It's a critical race theory, okay? They're trying, what white people have tried to do is take critical race theory and say that people are going to apply it to their curriculum. Critical race theory was was created by this one brother, I can't remember his name, and this sister that they put together to understand the theory of critical race. But it was only in college and in law school what it was it studied. They did not teach it in regular high school curriculum. What your question was, can you have saying if you're teaching history, okay, and history being taught by a black teacher, okay, it is going to be taught in a way to where, A, not only you're going to embrace that history and have an understanding of that history, and there ain't going to be any ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's going to be real. But it's going to be done in a way that you just get it. You're not going to have any mock slave reenactments and all that shit. That's not going to be going on.
Right. We don't have to have that. It's because, because the thing is, it's necessary. No, because there's plenty of video of what happened there. You can look at that. You don't have to reenact
you can get the
it.
Video.
You know?
You can go
look.
Henry Louis
exactly.
Study that.
I have to say this, is that we're here in Georgia, every year, you know, well, I don't know if they still do it since the pandemic, but they probably went back to it. There are reenactments of the Civil War, okay? Stone Mountain, different areas here in Georgia, they do these events of reenactments. Now, we already know how the Civil War turned out, right? The South. But in these reenactments, from what I've seen, it praises the Confederate soldiers. You know, it was said, to the victor goes the spoils. Why are we still praising the losers? I don't get it. Why, what you just said,
you're
reenactments
praising the losers
are not necessary.
You're praising them because of white supremacy, though, Mike. Mark, I mean, Mike. Because
yeah,
of white supremacy. White supremacy.
Right.
Okay,
Janet
remember,
made
those,
it back.
Those statues that were put up, okay, came in 1920. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Those statues, and they were put up by the daughters of the Confederate. They put those up. Yeah.
Right.
To promote white supremacy because they did not want blacks gaining anything. It had nothing
right.
to do with
coming down,
the war.
But they're coming down. Okay, so now that Janet has made it back. So hold on a minute, please. Janet, call had dropped, but she's back. And the thing is that I want to go back to what was said earlier when we were talking about, when you mentioned what happened in Carolina. Janet, will you share the other story that is happening in Carolina, which has become a well, they agreed to do this. And I think Timon said South Carolina, right?
No, Timon said North Carolina.
North Carolina. Can you share with us what is happening in South Carolina?
Yes, I can't read it because I don't have that many minutes. I had to put my block on instead of my charger.
Okay.
My phone, something's wrong. Anyway, in South Carolina, they passed the, a law where you can be executed by firing squad. They're giving prisoners the option to either do lethal injection, I guess, or firing squad. And I think that's like going backwards in time. That's barbaric to want to be killed in front of a firing squad. But they're apparently that's on their books to do it. Nobody just has asked yet.
But you know, we just passed the anti-lynching law.
Right.
Remember that?
It's anti-lynching. Okay, anti-lynching, but now here comes firing squad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm trying to look at what Jen, well, she sends me all the articles. I'm trying to find that article and try to open it up so I can give you guys a little information on that. I was not aware of this, but that's what you see or hear about in other countries.
Right.
Right? So I got it here. Let me read this, and I'm going to try to make it brief. South Carolina can now, and this is from CNN, a network that most Republicans don't like and don't believe, but obviously they have to make sure that their information is correct on this. South Carolina can now carry out firing squad executions. The South Carolina Department of Corrections said Friday that it can now carry out executions by firing squad in the state should death row inmates choose the method. The department informed State Attorney General Alan Wilson on Friday that it had completed renovations on the death chamber at the Broad River Correctional Institution and had established protocols making it able to conduct such executions. According to a news release, there are currently no scheduled executions in South Carolina. Executions there had been paused until the state was able to accommodate the firing squad option. So they stopped doing the injections till they say, well, wait a minute. You know, here's another option. We ain't going to kill nobody today. Let's make sure that we got the backstops to clean up and everything, you know, once we blow this person away. You know, we got to take care of that first before we implement it, right? So going on, I mean, think about what this is saying. In May 2021, South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, a Republican, signed a bill into law that made the electric chair the state's primary means of execution, but allowed inmates the option to instead choose firing squad or lethal injections if available. The change was made to South Carolina law as states around the country hit barriers executing those on death row due to problems administering lethal injections, which we know that there are some issues with that still. The widely preferred method in the U.S. difficulties of finding the required drugs have essentially put executions in many states on hold. The department on Friday detailed the room setup and protocols for how a firing squad execution would be carried out, noting that an inmate would be strapped into a chair with a hood placed over the person's head. A member of the execution team, team would place a small aim over the person's head, according to the release. The rifles used by the three-member firing squad will not be visible to witnesses, the department said. Members of the firing squad must meet certain qualifications to kill. Okay, I'll just threw that in there. The qualifications, this is crazy, and our volunteer department employees. So you're volunteering to kill somebody,
mm-hmm.
according to the police. The department spent about $53,600 to make the necessary changes to accommodate firing squad execution. Now, there's more I can read, but I'm not going to go into all that.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this story here? I get the fact that here you have an option of either being lethal injection or a firing squad. What's better of the two?
But Mike, that's not new because Utah used to do the firing squad. That's how they killed that last cat that they had that was there. They had firing squads.
There were some states, and hanging. I was about to say that there was
They stopped hanging. They stopped hanging back in the 30s and the 40s because they got too gruesome. Because they didn't. If you didn't do the weight right, you could end up and snap somebody's neck wrong.
I think I'm not going to say it was Utah, but I know. Well, hold on for a minute. I read an article not too long ago that there were some states that still had that on the books of where they could still do it. Now I have to do the research again, and I think it was probably 10 years ago. I saw that some states still had that, but they didn't use it. But it was still on the books. It was still an option.
Mm-hmm.
A judge could have said, "You will hang to your death." Right, but it hadn't been used, but it was still on the books. There's a lot of
mm-hmm.
stuff that are still on the books in different states that they can actually, a judge can actually say, well, I'm going to sentence you to this. It's on the books. And
right.
we might look at it being barbaric, but it's still on the books. How come it has not been removed? That's my question.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Why are we still having anti-lynching law? Why have we still got to put something to tell people to not lynch people? We have to pass a bill. We just passed a bill so a black girl could put braids in her hair. I mean, this is the ignorance. They can't, you know, this is what gets them in trouble. You know, they get in trouble because they're doing stuff that don't make no sense. Why is this? We got to keep making these laws to stupidness.
Right.
You know, anti-lynching? But you didn't want to stop it. I mean, that's like, you know, Mike, think about it. There are people that voted against civil rights, and they're still alive today. They voted against it. There are people
mm-hmm.
that didn't want women to have funky sex. There are people that didn't want women to vote. They want I have to vote.
Amen.
1965.
Yep.
And they've been there are people who voted against the anti-lynching law.
This was not that long ago, right. 1965 was not that long ago. True. I was 5 years, I'm sorry, I was 3 years old. But right.
But when blacks fought hard to be able to vote, and then a lot of us don't even take it into consideration that that's like, it's not just a privilege, it's something that we have to do in order for us to have some type of equal rights. You know, you sit home and then you want to complain about the way things are going, but your vote counts. Every vote will count if they don't throw it out.
Well, I want to say this based on what you just said, privilege. Voting is a privilege. If you are a felon, you commit a crime, right, you don't have the right to vote. You don't have the right to own arms anymore. Some states, after a certain amount of time, you know, and that's what gets me is that where if you're sent to prison and you get out, what rights are you allowed to have? Well, follow what I'm saying. Do you regain your rights or not? And in many cases, you don't. We've seen, we talked about the woman who registered, you know, the vote. They told her it was okay for her to vote, and all of a sudden they give her, 6 years? She didn't. I mean, she was told the wrong information.
She didn't
even vote.
She was told the wrong information. Because she was doing some research to actually exercise her right to vote, and she was told the wrong information. They're going to say, "Oh, well, you were breaking the law." No, I followed what you guys told me. I mean, what sense does that mean? And the evidence is there. It's right there of what she did.
Right. And it would have been different if she had actually tried to vote, but she found out that she couldn't, and she didn't, but they still charged her.
Charged her. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Attempt. You know. But, okay, so you guys, we're getting close to the top of the hour, and I definitely want to hit some other topics because the time is now 6:37. I know we could talk about this for another 2 hours, but I want to switch gears for a moment on something. This is March the 19th. April 15th is the deadline for what?
Tax.
You guys ought to know this. File
taxes.
Your taxes. Mm-hmm. And as some of you know, I work in retail. Yes, I do. That's my normal job. I don't make money off of this that I'm doing now. But I see folks coming in buying everything under the sun. And it's amazing to me of how people spend. Now, I talked to an individual earlier this evening on their show, and I invited them to come on the show during this tax time and share things about taxes because this is like the stimulus, you know? This is your end-of-the-year stimulus check. And there's folks I see that just impulse buy. Why not save the money? And I want to get you guys I understand that sometimes folks want to buy things that they wish they could have bought at a certain time of the year or whatever. But I'm looking at where folks are really impulse buying. What's your thoughts on tax season? And I'm sure all of us, most of us, may get some money back. Some don't. May owe the government. But what's your thoughts on income tax time? Whether you're spending or if you're owing, what's your thoughts on where the government borrows your money, which you worked for, they get money off of your money, and they don't give you back all the money that they took from you. They give you back a certain percentage. What's your thoughts on that?
A lot of people, I think when you're making a certain amount of money, you need to not just go file taxes or just see a tax preparer, you need to actually see an accountant, a certified tax accountant that or a tax lawyer, because they will tell you how to use your money, utilize your money to the fullest extent where you're not letting the government use your money throughout the year. You can, because that happened to me where I was like messed up with IRS for over 10 years until I saw a tax accountant and realized I didn't have to pay. They were supposed to pay me back $25,000. Do you think I ever got it? No.
You never? Okay. Well, I remember when the government was sending out IOUs. You can't send that shit to them. Okay.
That's right.
You can't send.
And
can I owe you? Mm-hmm.
They said
and then
it was when they opened up the letter and not when they actually got it, you know. And so they can let it sit for a home forever until the statute of limitation is up, you know. But I never did get that money back. Yeah.
You never got the money back.
You have to know how to use your money in 401ks and IRAs and different things. And that, you know, that way there, you are using your own money, getting interest off of it, and you still be able to get a check back from IRS and not instead of them paying them back. Yeah.
Well, I just thought I'd just throw that out there because it is tax time, and I'm seeing folks just like buying 2 and 3 flat screen televisions and video game systems for the kids and computers and everything. I'm like, okay, come next year, most of that stuff will be obsolete. There'll be a new version. And you'll do the same thing next year. Not saying everybody, but I mean, how we are programmed to spend but not save. See the difference? We're programmed to spend and not save. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. It's amazing. The time is now 6:42 p.m. We do have our guest coming up shortly. Mr. Ellison Kendrick will be joining us at the top of the hour. But there was something else I wanted to touch on. And it was... I'm sorry. Birthday, yeah.
Birthday cake,
right. Mm-hmm. Does anybody know how, because it is my birthday, but I started looking at, how did we start celebrating certain things? We looked at Christmas, we look at Thanksgiving, we know all that stuff. But where did the birthday cake come about? Anybody have any idea?
No.
Don't everybody speak at one time. Okay.
Well, I looked it up. They said ancient Greece worshippers brought moon-shaped cakes to the temple, I guess to celebrate, that was decorated with candles to the Romans first baked the first birth cake. The Romans did. So I guess that was just a ritual, I guess they did at first. In ancient Greece.
Okay. Okay. Now, here's what's so funny. I pulled a bunch of them, but like you just read, they said Greece. Here's one that says, it is believed that the first actual birthday cake was made in Germany in the Middle Ages. Then I saw one that said it was started in the Egyptian period.
Yeah, I see the Egyptian. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same time as probably the Greeks, I guess, around the same time. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well. Let me go back to this one here. This one here says a brief history of the birthday cake.
My laptop is acting up.
It says the Romans baked the first birthday cake. They made cakes of flour, nuts, yeast, and honey to celebrate weddings and the occasional 50th birthday. Only if the birthday boy was a famous citizen and women's birthdays weren't celebrated anywhere until the 12th century. Now, here's what's confusing. Like I said, I've pulled up many articles that have different theories, I guess I can say, of the origination of a birthday cake. That's what's so amazing about Google. But I saw where it was, it wasn't that sweet cake that we all are used to. At the time, sugar was not produced in the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty much like a bread that had different flavorings. It was not sweet. It was labeled a birthday cake, but it didn't have that sweet flavor that we traditionally now consider a birthday cake. That's what got my attention, is that we're so... Here's a confusion, in a sense, of where it originated from and what was used back then. But the one I did read, which I'm trying to find now, said originally from Egypt, and it was not what we consider the birthday cakes that we use now. All right, you guys, we have about 15 more minutes before our guest is going to join us. I see some folks on the board, and you know what? I didn't open up the chat room, Janet. Oh, my goodness.
I'm behind you. Oh, I'm sorry for the folks that are listening online. Let me let you people who are listening online know that I'm opening up the chat room. I was running kind of like behind schedule, but if you have any questions or comments, please come to the chat room. Anyone who's listening online now, if you want to call into the show, you can call in at 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861 with any questions or comments of what we're speaking about for the next, roughly 13 minutes. And then we're going to move on and welcome our guests. All right. So I pretty much filled the first hour. I didn't pretty much fill the first hour. Still have some things, still have some time. What else did I want to chat in this or chat about in this hour? I want to say something too when it comes to retail. Many of us have worked in retail before and hated it. Like, I know a lot of folks that hated retail, but what's so amazing about it? You get to learn people. You follow me? You get to really learn people because in those situations when you work at, you deal with so many different people and you don't know what their attitude is going to be, this, that, and the other. And you're giving a service. But sometimes people just don't appreciate that. I see some crazy stuff over the years. And you know who I give a lot of respect to, Janet, to be honest, is that old school system that knows she got it going on. And I'm not trying to make fun of them, but I'm gonna be honest. There's people, and I know you all know them. You dealt with it. There's people who have a basket full of stuff, and get up there in line, and ain't got no money.
I've taught some. Yeah, I had to teach someone how to shop because I got tired of coming out of my pocket to keep them from trying to figure out what they wanted to put back, holding up a line,
Exactly. That's my point. That's my point. Don't put shit in the basket and you don't know if you have enough money to pay for it. Because
round
now
it
you're
up.
Making it very inconvenient. Right. Count your pennies, think in your head, do the math. There's folks who just throw stuff and they wait till they get to the register, and then what kills is when they go, how much is this? And you scan it, it's such and such. Okay, I'll think about that. How much is this? You should have thought about how much it was when you were taking it off the damn rack. That is so frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going to share this, but that is so frustrating. People, please, make it easy on not just the employees, but other people. When you go shop, think first. Think in your head.
Mike.
You know, who I respect is, now I want to say this, who I totally respect is, like I said, that old school system. See, what she'll do, she'll be on the phone. And she'll have a bunch of stuff. And she'll have that big ass purse. And she'd be like, girl. Yeah. What? Are you serious? And then she'll look at the cashier and go, I'm sorry, I have to take this one. How much you say it was? $239? Okay, hold on. And then she'll dig in that big purse and pull out her wallet. She'll finally find it and pull out that credit card. And she'll pop that credit card in there. And it'll say decline. And she'll be like, yeah, girl, excuse me. What'd you say? A decline? Oh, I know I got money, and I know I got. Hold on a minute. And you know what she'll do? She'll reach down in her bra and pull that wad of money out. She'll pull that big wad of money. Now, I'm not trying to be rude, but I like a woman like that. She got backup.
She knows that credit card don't work. Hell, I got cash. Now, when she hands me that money, it might be a little moist. It might be a little moist. But, hell, she got cash. I'm kind of like, you know, okay. You know, but she paying it. She got backup. But you got them folks
right.
who sit up there and they have no money. They're you know, they're debit. They have no money in the account. Their credit is gone. And here they're trying to shop for all kinds of stuff. Again, I say it's income tax time. If
mm-hmm.
you got an income tax check, I don't know how you're shopping, if you're shopping with cash or if you're shopping with a card. Just make sure you have the money to pay for what you're buying. Make sure. Do the math before you go shopping. Okay?
That's Can I tell you why
go
I got out of retail? I got
What's
out
that?
Of retail because I was working at a supermarket, and they had a sale on dog food. This person, guy, came up with the biggest bag of dog food, and I rung it up, and he said, "That's not the price." I said, "That was on sale yesterday. It's not on sale today." He had a conniption and screamed and hollered, cursed me out, ripped the bag of dog food open, dog food everywhere, and he walks out the store. I couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's it for me.
Okay, so let me tell you something because we're almost at the top of the hour. I see our guest is on the board, but I got one better for you. Here's ignorance at the highest level of a person shopping. You know, in many stores, they have what they call a display, okay? And every store does an inventory. The display sometimes will have what they call a price tag, and it might say 1 cent, but it says clearly on that tag, display. Do you know that people will come in and see that and say, this is a penny? Excuse me? This is a penny? No, sir, This big speaker here, let me look it up. No, this costs $500. No, but you got a penny here. No, but if you read it, it says display. Every item in a store has to be counted. No, you follow what I'm saying. Every item has to be accounted for when you do an inventory. You can't just ignore it. Granted, the maker gave it to them as a display, but you really think that we're going to put, you know, an item out here or a store is going to put an item out here that costs $500 and sell it for a penny? And this guy said false advertisement. It clearly tells you. It's a display, dude. If it was only a penny, that would not be sitting there. We wouldn't have any in the store. So next time, read, people. Ashley said he was going to call the company and complain about it. Penny candy don't even cost a penny anymore. So what do you think? You're going to get a $500 speaker for a penny. I'm just saying.
That's
the
it.
Ignorance of people never, you know, surprises me. It just does. So anyway, look, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick music break, and when we come back, we're going to have our special guest, Mr. Ellison Kendrick, join us. If you were not on the show the last time he joined us, or better yet, I should say the first time he joined us, you missed a great treat. And what I want to do, I want to go back and play one of the tracks that we heard at that time when he was on the show,
mm-hmm.
because we're going to listen to some of his new stuff, and it's awesome. And you guys, get ready for your questions or comments. Love this brother every time he comes on, and heard him on other shows. His music is awesome, and hey, we're going to have fun. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, my co-host, Janet Davis, and also co-host Time and Ship joined us. Some other co-hosts are not available. I see one is on the board. And I know that they're probably busy. They're just tuning in and listening. So I appreciate that. And Cotton Campbell should be popping up soon. Okay? So you guys stand by, and we'll be right back. Hold on. Something's happening with the board here. Yeah, you know, it happens from time to time, unfortunately. I'm pulling up a track, and then it wants to act crazy. But that's cool. We'll take care of it. Here's Ellison Kendrick with Black Suit. We'll be right back.
We're gonna have some fun. Just come and go with me somewhere where you will be my only one. Ooh, it's gonna be a beautiful thing. It's gonna be like your dreams. Let's make this a night you remember. It ain't over till the fat girl sings. You can put some rings on, get your makeup and your hair done, slip that sexy dress on, and make our tunes repeat the song. You can paint your nails too, but don't forget your dancing shoes. Can't wait to get you in my car. Well, you know I'm gonna rock you. When we step up in the club and everybody's staring at you, I know I got your attention, 'cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, 'cause I got on my black suit. To VIP, you can sit and have a drink with me. The conversation's good, we laughing on the dance floor to the beat. Baby girl, let me take your hand, turn around, let me see you dance. Your booty so sweet, you touching on me is more than I can stand. I love it when you get too on, I'm feeling like I'm on one. We can put these drinks down and make the DJ play your song.
Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That was Mr. Ellison Kendrick with Black Suit. He was kind enough to join us a few months back or so and share that. But now today he is back sharing his new music, which you're going to hear momentarily. But you know what, Janet, once I hear that song,
I'm thinking I need to put on my black suit and take my ass out somewhere after the show.
It makes you move. Yep.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
It's got
awesome.
A real good beat.
Mm-hmm. Oh man,
I love it.
Yeah, mine too. So without further ado, please, you guys, put your hands together and welcome Mr. Ellison Kendrick to the show. Ellison, here we go.
Yeah. Hey. Hello.
Hey.
Okay,
I love it. How you doing,
my brother? I'm well. Thank you for that. That was a good laugh. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank
well,
you.
Well, first off, I want to say happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I managed to hit the 6-0. I tell everybody else that when I drop something on the ground, I can't bend over to pick it up. I have to fall to one knee and hope I have something to grab to pull my ass back up. You know, that's what 6-0 happens. You know, it happens. But hey, man, loving the new music.
Thank you.
And which we're going to get into momentarily, but loving the new music. And tell us what you've been doing since the last time we talked to you. Of course, you've been recording, but tell us what else has been going on with your music and your shows and so forth.
Well, besides recovering from the pandemic and surviving that, thank God, like you said, I've been recording. I've been working on new music and some acting projects that are coming up. You know, everything was stalled because of the pandemic, so I'm back in rehearsals for that. Just performing everywhere. You know, getting everything back in order. Studio work as usual. It's just been back into my regular scheduled program basically.
Fantastic. Now, I want to go back to Black Suit because, you know, when we first met you, of course we played that, and I wanted to play that as the opening to introduce folks to, you know, that you've been doing this for some time, and you still continue to do so. You shared the story about how you wrote that. If you don't mind, just share one more time how that song came about. I love the story.
Oh.
You mind sharing it one more time?
Oh.
Because I'm going to ask you about how these new songs came about.
Wow. Okay. Yes, let's do that. I was signed to a production company, this young man out of New York, and he sent me music because he wanted to release something. And when I heard that track, some songs just get you right away. When you hear the melody, when you hear the vibe, you hear the groove, some songs hit you right away. And when I got that song, I think I told you last time, in less than 24 hours, I got the idea, I completed the song, and I sent it right back to him because I was just that much inspired. Because I figured, you know, another reason I wrote this song is because we always have the women do everything for us. They dress up, they do their hair, their nails, and they're Beyonce sings about the freakum dress, and, you know, Johnny Gill sang about the red dress and my. So it's, I feel that sometimes that the men, especially nowadays, should dress up for, you know, the women. So, yeah, that was the inspiration.
Fantastic, man. I love that story. In 24 hours, this song was written.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's amazing. That's truly amazing. Some folks spend months writing a song, and it's a flop. You did it. I mean, to be honest, but you did that, and it's just awesome. And you know, when I play it, I'm like, wow. As Janet said, it has a great up tempo feeling, of feeling good. You know, so getting dressed up, and that's
thank
fantastic.
You.
Now let's move forward to the new songs.
Okay.
Which I have to tell you guys, when Ellison sent me these songs, I was like, okay, let me check this one out. And of course, I listened to both of them. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And what I love is a songwriter who is a storyteller. And this is a story, which both are. So before I ask you the questions, how about we let the listeners hear the track, and then you respond to it. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do it.
Okay. So now, this is, I don't want to play this one yet. I want to do this other one first, and then
okay.
We'll get to the one that really has a lot of attention here. You don't know that. So
okay.
I'm going to pull it up. I'm sorry. The board is still acting up. But, okay, now it's acting fine. Get the volume up. So got it going on. Tell us a little bit about that, just a little bit, and introduce the song for us.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm going back
on the road. Okay. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, well, this one was actually written by a young man named Jay Only, who is an artist of mine that I've been grooming for years and managing and cultivating, you know, him into the artist that he is today. And, we work together on a lot of things, and a lot of times I conceptualize what I want to sing about. And when we work together, he's very good at putting it together in modern terms, modern vernacular, you know, things that they say now that they don't say anymore. And so I make sure that I, you know, check with him, and, you know, he put together this song. And this is another, you know, song complimenting the women, because a lot of songs nowadays don't have that. Women are, you know, referred to in derogatory terms, and they dance to it, and they're called all kind of names, and they still dance to it. So I'm trying to write a song that's complimentary to the women, and they can dance to this too. So, ladies and gentlemen, the next song is called Got It Going On.
Because when I'm with you, I want the world to see. Can't be alone, I want you next to me. Locked in forever, meet my family. I won't lie. Baby, you got it going on. You got it going on. Baby, you got it going on. You got it going on. Show me how. Mind, I felt out of place, but I see so much beauty in this, that you're the only one I see, and that's for real, no longer a fantasy, I'm so glad you're here with me. I feel like I'm on a big screen, because when I'm with you, I want the world to see, can't be alone, I you next to me, locked in forever, meet my family. I won't lie, baby, you got it going on, you got it going on, baby, you got it going on, you got it going on. Show me how you do it. I say you got it going on, you got it going on, baby. The light bulb in my dark room. From bare feet, you are my shoes. Girl, you're the cure to my flu. Don't you worry about a thing, girl, I got you. I don't have to second guess, I'm sure. I don't have to say the rest, I'm yours. If I feel you on the test, you'll be my choice. My choice. Don't you worry, this is how I feel. And if you got questions, ask me, I'll be real. I'll be real. No more searching, baby girl, I'm here.
Right here.
Believe me, your heart I will steal.
Oh, can we have this forever?
Me and you, it's now or never. You give me, yeah, the feeling that I never had. All your loving, baby, it's the best.
When I'm with you, I want the world to see.
Wow. Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, with our special guest, Mr. Ellison Kendrick, with You Got It Going On.
Hey, hey.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, you got that old school track in the background, which is a track from the legend, the icon, and God bless his soul, Mr. Barry White.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
I like how you did that. Yes. Because unfortunately there's a lot of folks who are growing up who, you know, are hearing songs but don't know, you know, what I'm saying, samples, don't know where it came from. But I truly appreciate the fact that you use one of his tracks, and it really works for what you're doing. I'm sure Janet Davis may have a question or comment. And I want to get back to what we were talking about after that. Janet, you have a question or comment to Ellison?
Sorry.
You were on mute, I know.
Sorry. Yes. So I have a little bit of both. A comment is, I really like the fact that your songs do tell stories and it has true feelings and meanings to it. So, I mean, that's a plus for today's artists, you know, because there's a lot of rap and everything out there, but your songs really tell stories that really touch your heart. And I wanted to know about some of the jingles that you have done, because I saw that in your bio that was for Nestle. And tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you for reading that. In Miami, there's a a production company that they're hired to find talent to do certain jingles, and I'm in that circle of the studio session workers. So you're that, you know, when I'm the, you know, one of the go-to guys to doing the call when it's something like that is offered. So I was contacted for both of those, and they're both for, one was for overseas, I think it was Brazil, and they were Brazil and the Coca-Cola and Nestle. So they were for commercial jingles. That was really interesting. The first time I've done that. But it was I really enjoyed that. Yet the same thing happened as well with, if you saw the movie Bad Boys, the third one, the most recent one, we were, you know, someone saw us performing, and then that was the last, that was also something that, you know, I never did before. You know, we were singing the song that happened during the wedding. So after they got married, we covered the song by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, Heaven Must Have Sent You From Above. And, that was another great experience. Yeah, the first time,
Wow. Okay.
I'm sure that was a nice check.
Yes, it was. Amen.
I'm sure that was a nice check. It has to be, because that's a movie that's going to be...
We got to briefly be in the movie as well. So if you see that back shot when Will stands up out of the wheelchair, I'm in the white suit standing right behind Will, you know, finishing the song up. So that was two checks.
Wow.
Enjoyed those days.
Right, because you were on film. Right. So that's two checks.
Right.
Fantastic, man.
Sir.
That's awesome. And I'm glad that Janet, that she did the research. See, that's how come I love her so much. She's been my backbone for years here doing the show and doing the extra, going the extra mile to get the information. I did not know about that. Janet should have told me. But anyway. no, I'm just joking. But
she's
that's great
it.
Information.
She's got you. She's got
she's
you.
Up on it. Exactly. I want to get into the next song, but I definitely want to ask you something beforehand because it's only 7:17 right now. But before we get into the next song, I've asked many of our guests, especially our recording artists, regarding music, the difference. Mm-hmm. You've had hip hop, you've had rap, now you had gangster rap, you have all kinds of different, genres, I guess, that goes on. With the recent things that has happened, the killings, unfortunately, in rap. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I want to pose this question to you and see if you can, give us an understanding or share with us what your opinion is about it. Because to me, I'm looking at where I've never heard of a rock and roll artist killing another rock and roll artist. I've never heard of a country artist doing a ride by, and I say that ride by because they might be on a horse, just a little pun.
Ah,
in
it.
And then you look at where Tupac and Biggie. Their murders have never been really solved. There's a lot of speculation. But the recent murders over the years of hip-hop artists, I did some research and saw where there's a lot of rappers who have been killed. They might be regional. There's some that are known worldwide, some that are known within the United States, and some that are known in just their certain areas. But many of them over beat. Why is it, or what's your take on, why is it this is the only genre of music that has that type of violence involved in it?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's, I'm sorry, excuse me. I think it's set up that way. It's not just happening by happenstance. The industry is set up that way. Certain songs you won't get released, won't get promoted. You cannot get signed unless you're singing about drugs and violence and degrading women and we're turning on each other. That stuff is pushed and promoted, and those are the people that get the shine. It's set up that way. They don't want the black community to love each other. There are no more love songs coming from the new generation. They don't want us to talk about, our mothers and our relationships and getting along and loving. None of that exists anymore. And if you do make a song like that, it doesn't get heavy airplay. You barely notice it. You have to find it. So it's set up that way. Like you said, I've never heard the violence in country. I've never heard it in any other genre of music. And we're all following this trend, and we're like desensitized to violence. We're desensitized to drugs. We're desensitized to putting each other down and using language that's not uplifting. We're the only ones. We're the only ones, and no one else is doing that. And they said, well, rappers should be allowed to tell their story and tell their experience, but we are not. We don't just have one experience. Most of us love our mothers and fathers and our grandparents, and we go to church. A lot of us are brought up the same way. So we have a connection to a God or to love, or that is never highlighted. You don't get signed when you think about anything that's worth uplifting the community. So
I don't think it's
just happening. I think this is all on purpose. It's in the films. It's if you watch, and then we kind of play a part of it, because I always tell people when they bring that up, what should we do? I said maybe we should adopt the model that the Planet of the Apes had. They used to say ape no kill ape, so we should say black don't kill black. We shouldn't do that when we're up against each other. That's the last thing we should consider doing, is killing each other. I don't understand it, but it infuriates me because that's how you get your shine. Even if they're not that type of person, that industry or that label will force them to be that kind of person or to put on that persona or to create a beef. And then the fans do the dirty work, you know. They kill. They're attacking the artist when really that rapper would probably never do those things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you get on it. Woo, you got
I
me on
love
that
your
one,
response. Well, no, I appreciate it because I've been blessed to have some great artists on the show, and I have to always ask that question because you see it, you know what I'm saying? You're aware of it, and it's a thing that always has been on my mind. Why is it only happening in this genre of music? You know, you don't hear it in other ones, and so I appreciate you sharing that. And we have to find an answer to the problem, and basically what you just said is that where it's what the industry wants. You being an independent artist, what is the gift that you have of doing that outside of the fact that you're not told to do a certain type of music, but what are the other perks that you have, or for better lack of words, that you're able to do this? Because when we play this next song, what I like about this song that I'm going to play in a moment.
Okay.
I like the fact that it's explicit, but it's not vulgar.
Uh-huh.
You follow
me? Right.
It's explicit.
Right.
Back in the day when I was growing up, there were songs that were written, and I'm going to throw this out here, you guys, and you probably don't know it, but I'm going to tell you. I remember Chuck Berry did a song called My Ding-a-Ling. Okay.
Wow.
All the minute, you guys are going to think he talking about his no. The story that he told was about a toy that he called Ding-a-Ling. But if you listen to the song, I don't know if you ever heard it, but if you listen to the song, he never said what he was talking about. He just gave a story about a toy. Okay, that's creative writing to me, and to me it's like where when you can tell a story without using vulgar words, and keep the person's mind, you know what I'm saying, wondering. We know what he's talking about, but he did it in a way, just like what you did with this next song I'm going to play. You didn't have to use any F words or the A word or anything like that, or the B word. But you told a story, which is pretty explicit, but not vulgar. How did you do that? That's amazing to me.
Well, I didn't I conceptualize it as well. I didn't write the full body of the story. This was written by the same person who wrote the song prior. His name is Jay Only. We worked together on the album. He co-executive produced the album with me. And I gave him the concept, and I said, I want to do something different that no one expects me to sing about. Because I'm always, I like to tell the good stories and stuff, but I'm like, there's another side to me. I've had experiences like this. I want to be able to tell the story, but I don't want to gross people out, but I want to be grown up about it. And so he working with me, he put that song together, and he was like, "Is this what this is what you're talking about?" So yeah, this is where I want to go. So yeah, that to me is one of my favorite songs because I've never done this before. I've never been that open and that explicit. But I think it's we all have different sides of us. It's one facet of us. But yeah, I wanted to share my experience.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. And Jay has been a guest on our show, and I really appreciate Jay. I hope he's listening. And
of course,
and Jay,
of course,
if you're out there, you're more than welcome to chime in.
Mention his name.
Just put the number one. Just put the number one on your phone. I'll open up your mic because I like the collaboration with you guys. It's awesome, and of course, you have a home here to always share. But without further ado, let's go ahead and listen to Only One for Me. And you guys, if you have sensitive ears.
Wait, not that. That's the only one. You're playing the only one. I'm mixed up. I thought you were playing the one Dumb.
Can't Explain?
So this is the only.
Well, damn.
No,
Dumb. I'm sorry. Well, it's Dumb. The upload I have says done, and it says only one from me. That's the upload that I got. I'm going to play the unedited version. I think that's what I have. Because I would not be...
Yeah, dumb is the one you're talking about.
Right. I wouldn't give the song the respect that it has if I played the edited one. So, and then, again, I can play whatever I want to on my show, right? So, I'm going to play
that freedom of independence.
Exactly, which we were just talking about, the freedom of independence. I don't have anybody who is monitoring and saying you can't play this and that. I'm going to play the raw version. So, you guys, without further ado, I'm going to let Ellison introduce the song. And Ellison, you got the mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a song written by my artist Jay Only, featuring Jay Only on the rap. It's called Dumb.
Here we go.
That was almost gospel you're about to play right now. You're going to confuse your audience.
Wait a minute. How did that happen? I'm sorry.
They're going to leave.
No, I don't know how that happened. Because, see, now I'm going to tell you. What happened is this. It says it shows dumb on the download, which that's what I thought that I had here. No, hold on. We got a 30 minutes here. I got to find that now. That there's something that's not right here. But I'm going to still play that track for me to find what I'm looking for. That's what I had. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe this. Only on my birthday.
Okay.
But hold on a minute.
Okay. Let me set this one up so you won't confuse the people. Let me set it up. Are you playing it now?
This is funny.
No, go ahead and set this one up. Only one for me.
Okay.
Because it has dumb there.
This song is written by Ludus Charles. It's a very inspirational song. I call it the wedding song, which I've performed at many weddings. It's called The Only One. Now, you can use it in church. You can use it for your loved one. You can use it for your child, your mother. It's an all appropriate situation song. Here you call it The Only One.
All right. Here we go.
Chasing love for so many years, what it really was, now it's very clear, was damaged in every way, until you came and stole my heart that day. Your love is so right, it fixed all my wrongs, warm like the sunlight, sweet like a love song. I found the most amazing love, I know they probably think I'm crazy, but you're the only one who will fight for me. The only one who's truly right for me. That's why I'm gonna sing you this song today. Until there's nothing more left for me to say. For every tear that you help me cry, and every tear that you help me dry, I'm gonna love you more than I did before. Cause you're the only one. Your love is my breath, all I believe in. If it ever left, I would stop breathing. You're the one I'll never trade. Simply to love you is why I was made. They say I'm insane to think this is real. Don't need to explain, I just know how I feel. It's such an amazing love. I know they probably think I'm crazy, but fight for me. The only one who's truly right for me. One who's truly right for me. That's why I'm gonna sing you the song today. Oh, until there's nothing left for me to say. For every tear that you helped me cry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back. Hey, you guys. That was from Kendrick. I truly apologize for the fact that there was a little issue here, but we're going to correct it, so please bear with me. Awesome track. I really love it.
Thank you, Janet.
You have anything to say about that song there?
I'm just overwhelmed with that song. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
I can imagine me walking down the aisle on that one. I have to keep that
thank
one
you.
In mind for someone.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Okay, so what I'm doing right now is I'm pulling up. We have to, I mean, it's 7:34. We have to play the hit. There's no getting around that. So what the board is telling me is that it is uploaded. I just got to switch it over to Blog Talk. So while I'm doing that, with the music, or better yet, the what's going on now since the pandemic is almost over, but still other things that are coming out, I want to ask you and everybody else, how protective are you now when you're out with the public, when you're out? Are you still wearing a mask? Are you still, you know, following the guidelines and everything? What's your thoughts on this?
Yes, I'm still, because I'm, you know, in some places it's still required. They're a little more lenient, but I just take the precautions. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to wear it, you know. So yeah, I'm still following.
Fantastic. I'm doing the same thing. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. Because it's very important. I see that I do have it. I do have it. Thank you, board. that I'm able to go ahead and pull it up. So give me a moment. I'm going to go ahead and put it on the board here. So in the meantime, it takes a process. And I truly apologize to all the listeners and my guests for the fact that this had occurred. That other track had Dumb on there, and I was thinking that's the one, and it wasn't the one. So I got to put in the information in order for it to upload. So give me a minute here, and we should have it there. Janet, in fact, for all of you that are listening here on the show, you know you can hit the number one. I'm seeing that the board is full. There's a lot of folks. I got to scroll down to see all the numbers. So if you have any questions or comments, you know you can hit the number one and speak to our guest. Bring It Boy is in the chat room. He says, hello, Mr. Gay. You have time to let me explain the Breonna Taylor fault. Well, not on this show, sir. I definitely will let you have time to do it on another show. But right now we have a special recording artist guest. So, I would love for you to explain why you made that comment. I have not forgotten it, where you said that she's at fault for her own death. No one is being convicted. No one is taking the blame for the death of an unarmed individual. I see a hand up, 727-439. I'm going to open up your mic. Welcome to TMGS. What's your question or comment for our guest, Ellis McKenzie? Your mic is open. And by the way, I'm hearing noise in the background. If you're not speaking, please hit the number one to put yourself on mute. 727-439. I just opened up your mic. You have a question or comment? 727-439. Going once, going twice.
Oh, sorry. That's
three to one.
I just wanted to say, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. But whoever has the noise in the background, I want you to hit the number. I want you to mute yourself for the quality of the show.
Probably hit my performance.
Okay. Well, if it's you, then, that's okay. But anybody else, put yourself on mute. Everybody put yourself on mute until it's time for you to speak. That's the best way to do it. 727-439. Go ahead. Your mic is open.
Hey, Allison, it's Renee Ash, your friend from Miami. I just wanted to say I love you and I miss you, and I'm so glad to be on here with you tonight.
Oh, wow. Welcome. Well, welcome back. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you. Miss you, too.
Okay. So you from Miami. You're a fan of Ellison, right?
Yeah. She used to live in South Florida. I think she moved out of state, and then she's back, I think, visiting for a while. And I got a message that she will be calling in to listen. So I appreciate her doing that. I really do.
Fantastic. So let me ask her a question. What's your favorite song by Ellison? I'm sure all of them are, but what's your favorite song?
I am loving his new one, but yes, I love all of them, but Dom is definitely my favorite right now. So I'm excited that you're going to finally play it. Just kidding.
All right. Well, I think I got it uploaded. You know, it takes a process here. So without further ado, Ellison, I'm going to play the song and then let you explain how it came about. So you guys, here is Ellison Kendrick with Dumb. I love this track. Check it out, the unedited version. Here we go. It's from the video, by the way.
I could be going crazy. I think my lady's got a lady. How we talking, baby? And you are here trying to play me. You should have told me, babe. Could have been good for the both of us. Had me my lingerie, so you can show it up to someone. What about the diamond chain? Now I'm just looking so stupid. So stupid, baby, you scream my name. But all you can do is think of her. She said, can't nobody do it like her. Can't nobody do it like her. Yeah. Can't nobody do it like her. Can't nobody do it like her. You love the way I beat it up.
Yeah.
Do she choke you till you busting her? Do she please you till it hurts the touch?
Like that.
She's got your body and not your mind.
Not your mind.
I stimulate your soul while I bend your spine.
Bend your spine.
What about when you told me leave it inside?
Oh.
We had a future, you were down to ride.
Yeah.
What's coming?
She said, can nobody do it? Nobody do it like her. Can't nobody do it like her.
She got me going down, down.
Sweetheart, it was all good, what a sweet start. It was on a college campus, she was dancing. That's when I knew we couldn't be apart. Slid to the dorm on a late night. Shorty was a freak, man, I can't lie. Whole different person on the inside. Man, that's what I got, I found my wife. Wait for the switch up, it was a hiccup. Could be a friend, yeah, could be a sister. She said, babe, come and meet my friend. Some thick shit that she called twin. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Really ain't shit, just cooling. I ain't really like how they was moving. Then I found out they was screwing. Goddamn.
check.
All right.
Welcome back to the TMDS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL. That was Ellison Kendrick with Dumb Man.
I'm sorry.
Man. That's awesome. I have to say that's awesome. And I have to ask you, where did that story, because to me, songs are stories. Where did that story come from?
That was definitely a personal experience.
I've been there.
It's a personal experience. And I was like, all you had to do was be honest. That was not nothing you needed to hide from me. It might have been cool for me, too.
It
could have been good for
a menage.
Yeah.
It could have been a menage a trois, you know? It could have been a menage a trois.
Absolutely. Sometimes the truth is better.
Yeah. Wow. That's a deep song, bro. Seriously, that's really deep.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I like the fact, and I'll go back to what I said before. I like the fact that you didn't. It's explicit, but without being vulgar.
Vulgar. Right.
Yeah.
That was the goal.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome track.
Yeah.
And Janet, do you have go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I was going to say I made it to my performance. I'm literally at my sound check right now. So I got to check my sound. I'm multitasking like crazy. Well, you know, I wanted to thank you so much for having me in, for playing my music and interviewing me, and you guys taking the time to talk to me about everything. I really appreciate that. And happy birthday, especially that. Enjoy it.
Thank you. No, we truly appreciate you, and we thank you, and you know, for making time. You know, it's not really easy to schedule shows and get individuals on. I know everybody has busy schedules and everything, but, you know, every time we ask you to come in, you're always available, and I truly appreciate it. In fact, you were available for Valentine's Day, and I was like, wow, that would have been great, you know.
Yeah,
so
I really wanted to
do that, but my schedule didn't allow it. But Janet, do you have any more questions or comments for
Allison? Well, no, I think, am I on mute?
No,
we can mute.
Okay, well, I can see why the lady earlier said that this was her favorite song. It's really got a good beat and everything to it.
I like your
range as far as your voice. I mean, it's just, you know, unbelievable. Yeah, just keep on with your good news, producing music and movies.
Thank you so
much. And
the lady she was on,
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. What's your name again?
Renee.
Your mic is up.
Renee.
Okay. So, fantastic. I like when a fan chimes in because we've never heard you on the show. Where did you first hear Ellison, and how did you start becoming a fan of his music? Because that's the thing, is that where people need to hear these artists and start following them. When did you first hear him and become a fan of his music?
Yeah.
I mean, I met him in person in Miami and then found out he was an artist. And then I was like a little groupie and I would follow him around and go hear him perform live everywhere.
Funny.
That's great. That's a great story.
I love it.
So, Ellison,
I was still following him around, but I left Miami.
Oh, you're still following him around? Okay. Okay,
yeah.
but not in a bad way. You just support him.
It's harmless.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for tuning in and speaking
on
the show.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
All right.
And everybody on the panel, thank you. Thank you, Michael. I'm going to sign off because they're giving me my signal to get on stage.
Okay.
I'm managing myself, and I gotta handle it.
Yeah. All right.
Well, before you go, can you share with everybody how they can get a hold of this music before you go?
Yeah, everything is under my name, Ellison Kendrick. I keep it consistent and simple. The YouTube is Ellison Kendrick. The Facebook is Ellison Kendrick. Twitter is Ellison Kendrick. Instagram and TikTok, all Ellison Kendrick. You know, subscribe to my YouTube channel, watch the video, you know, play this stuff. And then that helps people like, you know, people like me, each one share it with someone else. And that's how artists like me get to blow up and, you know, do more. Because people always tell me, you should be on this and you should be on the radio and you should be. I'll say, yeah, but how many times have you shared it? Oh, okay. Oh, they don't do that part.
Right.
They leave it all on us, not knowing that the people have the power to make you who they think you should be. And that's all
right.
I write.
Fantastic. Hey, look, man, we're not going to hold you up. Thank you again so much.
All right.
Second time, Ellison has joined us, and we look forward to you coming back, okay? We have that,
all
right?
All right. Thank you. Thanks again. I promise.
The more music that you put out, the more we're going to promote you. Much love, my brother.
Absolutely.
Hey, you guys.
Take care.
Please put your hands together for Ellison Kendrick. Go ahead. You can do it on the microphone. Put your hands together for Ellison.
Good night, everybody.
Yay, good night.
Good night. Oh, wow. Awesome brother there. Awesome brother.
Yes, he is.
Truly appreciate him. Great music.
Well, not just music. I was looking on his bio about all the different movies and things that, you know, he participated in. And, you know, I was like, wow. You would never
think. Well, I
got
to give this to him. I have to give this to him real quick as he's left the stage. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Ellison Kendrick, for joining TMDF. Okay, that's enough. All right. All right, but go ahead, Janet, you were saying.
Oh, no, right. Well, all the things on the bio, you know, that he has accomplished as far as the music and movies and jingles and, you know, so he's got a lot of irons in the fire, you know. And I just like the wide range of parts his voice is concerned. He knows how to hit those high notes, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. I wish Jay only was able to chime in too, because, you know, we've had them both on the show. Of course, this was a conversation with Ellison, but I wish Jay was able to chime in. That would have been great to hear them, you know, chop it up with each other. Because it's great when you have a team. It's great when you have a team,
right,
when you both work together to accomplish things. And obviously, they're able to do so. Just like we have here. We have it here on the team, yes. We have our moments, but we manage to make it work. And that's the key thing. I really like that. That's what makes me keep doing what I'm doing, is working.
Right.
Wow. Great music, great music. We're almost at the top of the hour. The time is now 7:52 p.m. Eastern Time. You're tuned into the TMDS, the Michael Gay Show. For all of you that are listening on the internet, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for chiming in, the individuals who did. We truly appreciate you. We got some other shows coming up soon next week, the 26th. We have a special guest that's going to be joining us. And thanks to the one and only Miss Denise L. Wilkerson of the legendary Ladies of Style, have brought this guest to our attention. We have about three or four shows lined up, and we're just getting confirmations all together, timing all together. Some legendary individuals we're working with in conversations to do so, and just trying to get the dates right, because everybody has a schedule, everybody has something they have to do, and what we do is we try to work with them on their schedules
you know, because we pretty much can do whatever we want to, right, Janet, on Saturdays. So
right.
That's what we try to do is bring you the best conversations. We are that variety show, and that's what we always say. That's what we believe in being, a variety show. We'll talk about politics. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk with entertainers. We'll talk with politicians. We've been doing this for quite some time. What is this, going into our sixth or seventh year?
Yeah, I think it's probably the seventh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going into the seventh
because
year.
Because you started out with Maestro Mike Live, then it was Cool Critics and the Michael Gay Show on the J. King Network, and then the Michael Gay Network. So we've spent some time on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And it's been a blessing, you guys. It really has. It's been a blessing. And I see that we have about six more minutes left. But I want to say to all, you know, my experience of doing this, I've been criticized, which, you know, that comes with the territory. You're going to be criticized. There's one of people who like you and that don't like you. There's people who are going to follow you and don't follow you. I get it. The blessing is that I can continue to do so. You know, as Janet just said, we started out with Maestro Mike Live. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I started out doing a Facebook page with some friends of mine and later on started my own. And then later on, found out that I could live stream. I was live streaming before there was, you know, Zoom. I was live streaming before Zoom became something popular in every household. I was doing that years ago by accident, to be honest. I just kept looking at what are the possibilities, and I found that out. And then it was costing me a little bit of money, so I stepped away from doing the live stream and started and hooked up with the J. King Network, started doing that, and then after leaving the J. King Network, started this. So nothing's impossible is really what I'm saying. And for me to be here on Earth for 60 years, that's a blessing from God. The experiences that I've had doing this is just mind-boggling. Everyday guy. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not a singer. I'm not a writer. I play drums. I used to play drums. But I've been blessed to have some of the most unbelievable, talented people in various, you know, ways in music and politics and everything on this show. I've been blessed to do that. And sometimes I still say to myself, how is that possible? I even have folks who say, why are you, how come you're not this and not that? How come you're not on this network? Or how come you don't have your own, you know, better yet, what they're saying, how come you're not a superstar? It don't always work that way. You know, you start from meager beginnings in order to get to a certain point. But I love everybody. I truly do love everybody that has been part of this journey with me. First and foremost, Janet Davis, who is here. She's been my backbone doing this show and all the other shows. I truly appreciate her. I love her with all my heart. And all the past co-hosts, you know, I love them too. We still communicate. Mm-hmm. Some of them have come on the show, and, you know, they got their own shows, you know. And some of them said, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even attempt it to have my own show. And I'm glad that they did that. I don't down anybody. I try to uplift, you know. I try to support. And I'm just so thankful for the support that I do get, you know, for me to continue this journey. You know, I was told years ago, and I always believed this, nothing beats a failure but a try. If you don't try, bail. So I continue to try. I continue to strive to do what we do every Saturday here. So I thank you guys and everyone, this show. And get ready for more. It's not over.
That's right.
It's not over. We're going to be here, as usual, every Saturday. Okay?
Yes, a lot of our... a lot of our co-hosts are that was on our show in the past have moved on to their own, doing their own thing and their own shows and own networks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's, you know, unbelievable to have them, you know,
right,
be able to go and branch out on their own, you know, so.
Right. So without further ado, I only have 30 seconds, you guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next Saturday here on the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network.